Hi, welcome back to the channel. My name is Lisa Elvins-Deltori, and this is my channel, Have Roots, Will Travel. I am a genealogist and a passionate traveler. In this series, I am focusing on a subject that is near and dear to my heart, the story of les filles du roi, or the king's daughters. And we are taking each episode at a time. We are actually getting to know each one of these amazing women that have truly been the founding mothers of North America. So on my channel, you will find a video entitled Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0. That is the episode that you need to watch to get a better perspective about Les Filles du Roi, the program, how it was begun, to get a sense of what your ancestor or the just all the ladies in question, what they had to go through in order to accomplish the task of inhabiting New France. The lady we are going to look at today is not related to me. She's actually a viewer request, Marie Hubert. She happens also to be a great grandmother of one of my dear friends. And so with that in mind, let's have a look at Marie Hubert and what she brought to New France. So Marie was born in Paris, in the 6th arrondissement, the 6th circle, if you will, of France, and she would have been baptized in the church of Saint-Sulpice, which is the part of the parish that she would have been born into. And it is actually was constructed in 1646, the new church, the church that we see here. So that means that when Marie was born in 1655, that church was only 9 years old. Just amazing to me. Now that the particular church that was there before was there for many, many hundreds of years beforehand. But this is the church that you can actually visit, and there are still services there as well. And so the 6th arrondissement is an area that is referred to as Luxembourg because it sits on near the seat of the Senate and the garden that is situated right next to the Rive Gauche. There are some world famous educational institutions and all of that, a very, very prestigious part of France that we have seen a lot of ladies come from. So that's probably one of the most I don't know if it's more affluent, but certainly educationally and culturally, very, very advanced, if you will. So at the age of 15, just amazing to me the ages of some of these young ladies, she would have left for New France upon her father's passing. There is no mention of any dowry or any kind of money. Doesn't mean she didn't have any, just could not find any evidence of it. She would arrive on the Nouvelle France on July 30th, 1670, and she would join other filles du roi that we've studied. We've studied Elizabeth Agnes Lefebvre, which was number 2 video, Elizabeth Sully, number 3, Marie Desnoyons, number 9, Jeanne Fraisselle, 29, and Marie Lefebvre, number 32, and Agathe Merlin, number 14. So it's shaping up to be a ship that is populated with a lot of either my ancestors or people that I'm connected to in some way. The groom that she selects, his name is Nicolas Fournier, and he's born in 1643. So he's about 12 years older than Marie. He's born in the Saint-Étienne parish of Meran, France. And his parents are Hugues Fournier and Jeanne Huguette. He arrived actually in New France in 1664. So he shows up in 1671 to marry Marie, but he had actually been in New France for at least 6 years prior to that. Now, where the area where he's from is a small town found in the Charente-Maritime department. It's connected to the larger city of La Rochelle. We've seen that time and time again. And it's connected to La Rochelle by the Canal de Marat. And it's actually one of the most northern places in the region. It's found on the river Mirotaz, which is a tourist and fishing port. So, when I was researching Marat, it's actually, I mean, I didn't put a picture of it or anything like that, but it's actually famous for a chicken. You can look it up, the Marat chicken, the poulet. And also, you can see on the aerial view, this is what it looks like today. It looks amazing. And on the right side of your screen, you see the ruins of the church, Saint-Étienne, or the remnants of the church that he would have been baptized in. So Marie arrives on July 30th, and 2 months later, September 30th, there she is getting married to Nicolas. And so that's a pretty short amount of time. I think that's, and also given the fact that she was 15, pretty short amount of time. So it tells me, I think anyway, I could be completely wrong, that Nicolas was waiting by the boat. He's like, okay, I've been here for 6 or 7 years. I'm ready. Show me some women. And obviously Marie probably was someone who was extremely attractive. That's what I think. That's what I like to think. So Nicolas and Marie begin their married life in a place called Schellsburg, or Bourgoyen. It was known as that at some point of its life. Just to give you an idea of the illustrations that we have here, we have the church that you can go and visit right now. It was not there at the time of Nicolas and Marie. What I found on the right-hand side of your screen, I found this amazing illustration of the church as it would have existed in 1696. So I put that up there as well. Then I wanted to give you an idea of the of exactly where it is. So you can see that I've circled Charlottesburg. So it's just a little bit, north of Quebec City. And then this is an older aerial view of, but you can begin to see the star-shaped pattern and how it was laid out. So it was laid out with the church in the middle and the land, if you will, kind of like spokes in a wheel. So you can begin to see, very unusual in Quebec. There's only a couple of others, I think even in Canada, that are like that. So let's get a little bit of a history of this area. It began as the Seigneurie of Notre-Dame-des-Anges in 1626, and the Seigneurie was extended from the Charles River, hence its name of Schellsburg. And in 1665, Jean Talon, the intendant, wanted to establish some new villages. Schellsburg was laid out in that star-shaped pattern, and this was the concession that it became. So now they're settling down, and they're having their children. They have in all 6 children. Marie married, their firstborn Marie marries Pierre Grandin and has 4 children. And then we have Germaine de Michel, who marries Marie-Catherine Berrio and had 2 children before his untimely death. Françoise d'Amboise, their third child, married Pierre Lefebvre dit Boulanger and had 4 children. She then marries Antoine Blais and has 6 children. I just want to point out, for those of you who heard that name, Pierre Lefebvre dit Boulanger, that was actually the son of Marie Ursel Arculat, who was actually the very first fille du roi that we studied. So the families are interconnected in ways that you can't imagine. So always be looking when you're doing research to see who's marrying who. It's so interesting. Jean marries Marie Madeleine Fradette, and they have 5 children. Georges dit Jacques, you notice that the dit name can also be for the first name, so also known as Jacques. And he marries Marie-Françoise Melanchon and has 15 children. He makes up for all the rest, 12 of whom reach adulthood. Now, their last child, Jeanne, I don't have any further information, but I do have some ideas on that that I'm going to share with you in a few more slides. Unfortunately, Nicolas would die at the age of 55, leaving behind 6 children, the oldest being 14 and the youngest 2 months. We don't know for sure when exactly, so these are approximate. The death record seems to indicate that he may have died at sea. The Fournier Association erected a monument to him and Marie in 2008. It is in Beaumont, which is a little further down the road, where some of his descendants, helped to found. I've included the website for the Fulnia Association, should you want to check it out. There's so much information on it. It really is one of the best I've seen, actually, so check it out. He's buried in the old cemetery of Charlottesburg, and you can actually go and visit that. So her husband passes away in approximately 1687. Marie actually finds a new husband 4 years later. Very unusual to last that long as a single mother. So I think that says a lot about her strength, that she could do that. She didn't get married right away. And when she did get married, she chose an interesting fellow. He was a soldier, and he was born in 1665 from all evidence. And his name is Jean Gachet de Debreuil, and he was, you know, definitely just come over from France. And they were married in 1691, in February of 1691. They do not have any children together, but what we believe, and you know, even though the wonderful Peter Gagne writes in his book that Marie Val dies at Charlottesburg, I actually think that she did not die. I believe that she returned to France with her new husband. I believe that at some point, probably sometime before 1711, actually, they returned to France with Jeanne, her youngest. And I think that's why we don't have any further records of Jeanne. And it seems logical. And I believe this is, you know, a scholar that has been studying this and has seen evidence. So I tend to believe this. I don't know why. This is actually the first Fille du Roi that I have seen who returns to France at the end of her life. So, and I'm sure she's not the only one. It's just the first one that I've seen. So according to the information that I've been able to gather, it does not appear that that Marie dies in Quebec, rather that she dies in France and lives out the rest of her life in France. More information is needed, of course, always, but there's no proof of any kind that she would have, that she was still in Quebec, in New France, from a certain time. So we just have to surmise. There's no death record, there's no nothing. So that, and for either of them, and for Jeanne as well. So I think that's why the supposition is that they returned to France. And with that, we end our number 36. Can you believe we're on number 36 episode of these mini biographies? I hope you've enjoyed Marie Hubert, and I look forward to seeing you on video number 37. Until then, au revoir.